This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أم حسبت أن أصحاب الكهف والرقيم كانوا من آياتنا عجبا
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قيما لينذر بأسا شديدا من لدن ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا صدق الله العظيم. We continue exploring the commentary of the first verse of Surah Al-Kahf after discussing the fact that all praises belongs to Allah for revealing the Quran upon His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا, that this book that was revealed, the final revelation upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is blemishless, is flawless. There's no defect in it. It's impeccable. لَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا, a verbatim translation. Allah has not placed any crookedness in it. There is no deficiency, no discrepancy, no disparity, no inconsistency. In the fourth chapter of the Quran, in the fifth juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ, will they not ponder and reflect over the Quran? وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا, and if the Quran was from anyone other than Allah, they would find inconsistency in it. But study the Quran and there will be no inconsistency in it. Yes, the prerequisite of this is not only recitation, but reflection as well. Reflection, and this is mentioned in Tafsir al-Uthmani under the commentary of this ayah. So if you only recite it and you don't study it, you don't ponder, you don't apply your mind, then you're going to see inconsistency or apparent disparity. But if you apply your mind and you study it carefully, as has been expounded by the experts on the exegesis of the Quran, then you will realize, لا ريب فيه, there's no doubt in it, there is no inconsistency in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention about the polytheists in the 13th juz, in the 14th chapter of the Quran in Surah Ibrahim. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَحِبُّونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ وَيَصُدُّونَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَيَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا, woe be to those who give precedence to this world over the latter, and who prevent others from the deen of Allah, and constantly searching for عِوَج in the Quran. وَيَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا, they're looking for defect and for a flaw and a blemish in the Quran. Yes, if you have that prejudiced nature in you, then of course you are resenting it from the inception. But if you're genuine and you're sincere and you're honest and you apply your mind, I have no doubt you will be guided to the beauty of the Quran. Nay, Allah says in the concluding verses of chapter 13, Surah Ar-Ra'd, the chapter on thunder, you can call the people of the book, those who studied the Torah and the Bible and the Injil, those amongst them who are honest and candid and accurate. وَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَسْتَ مُرْسَلًا, and the disbelievers say, you are not a prophet. قُلْ كَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ, say unto them, Allah is a sufficient proof. وَمَنْ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ, and even the honest and the transparent and the candid and the sincere and the genuine scholars and priests and clergy from amongst those who had received the knowledge of the previous books, they will tell you regarding the truthful nature of the Quran and the veracity of the message of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, so now we have two things here. Allah said the Quran has no defect, which obviously means it's perfect, right? So it implies its perfect nature. When Allah refuted any blemish or any discrepancy, then automatically it implies that it is flawless, it is perfect, and it is impeccable. If I were to say he is not short, then I'm obviously implying that he is tall. He is not short, meaning he is tall, he is lanky. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed it on both fronts. Allah said the Quran has no blemish in it, no crookedness in it. And in the next word, that is the first word of the second verse of the 110 verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it is straight, qayyiman. And of course, in Arabic grammar, you know, it is maf'ul, ay ja'alahu qayyima, ja'alahu qayyima. This book, Allah has made it straight and upright. So what's the wisdom of combining between the refutation of any deficiency and the establishment of the perfect nature of the Quran? And Allama Zamakhshari, whose name is synonymous to the tafsir of the Quran, the great erudite scholar, said, وَفَائِدَةُ الْجَمْعِ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ النَّفْيِ الْعِوَجِ التَّأْكِيدِ فَرُبَّ مُسْتَقِيمٍ مَشْهُودٌ لَهُ بِالْإِسْتِقَامَةِ لَا يَخْلُو مِنْ أَدْنَى عِوَجٍ عِنْدَ التَّصَفُّحِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And this is what I say, my brother, and I beg and I beseech and I implore you for your undivided attention. I hope you can understand the beauty of the Quran. Let me translate this here and, you know, try and simplify it. So Allama Zamakhshari says the wisdom of combining both to say that it has no deficiency and then to say it is perfect is taqid, emphasis, to drive the point, to reiterate the point, to emphasize the point. Then he goes on to say, فَرُبَّ مُسْتَقِيمٍ مَشْهُودٌ لَهُ بِالْإِسْتِقَامَةِ لَا يَخْلُو مِنْ أَدْنَى عِوَجٍ عِنْدَ التَّصَفُّحِ. There are many articles, many pieces of journalism, many writings, many books. At a cursory glance, you will say, wow, this is excellent, this is amazing, this is profound, this is great English, this is great structure, this is great writing, prolific. But if you analyze it critically and you critique it microscopically, then you will realize that no, you know what? I revoke my sentiments, I retract my words. There's a grammatical order, there's a grammatical problem here, or the punctuation is not right, or the choice of words are incorrect, or there is a deficiency in the format of the story. You will find some inconsistency. But when it comes to the Quran, even if you were to pool your resources and you were to tire yourself, you will simply not discover any deficiency in the Quran. Because this is the speech of the Almighty, قَيِّمَا. It is upright, it is straight. We move on. What's the purpose of the revelation of this chapter and the Quran in its entirety? لِيُنذِرَ بَأْسًا شَدِيدًا. To warn, أَنذَرَ يُنذِرُ إِنذَارٍ. لِي, so that, بَأْسًا, torment, شَدِيدًا, a severe. To warn against a severe torment. Who would be the recipients of that severe torment? Meaning the disbelievers. Those who deny the Almighty, for them will be a severe torment. Now, while we all know that the severe torment in Akhirah is the blazing flames of hell, may Allah protect us. تَكَادُ تَمَيَّزُ مِنَ الْغَيْضِ تَكَادُ تَمَيَّزُ مِنَ الْغَيْضِ. We recite Surah Al-Mulk, or if not, hopefully we should be reciting it daily. Allah says that the fire wants to burst with fury. It wants to burst. Takadu is harf muqaraba, right? Takada, and that is wahid muannath ghaib. Takadu tamayyazu ay tatamayyazu. Takadu tamayyazu min al-ghayz. My word, the rage, the fury, the intensity, the gravity of that flames. May Allah protect us. May Allah protect us. Sometimes you visit a medical facility and you see a patient in pain, agony, and may Allah grant shifa to all. But if ever, and hopefully it never happens, if you go into a burned unit and you see people who have been burned, third degree burns, then you will realize how intense and severe is the affliction of burning and fire and to sustain difficulty through any form of flame or fire. May Allah protect us. It is very, very severe. So, of course, لِيُنذِرَ بَأْسًا شَدِيدًا, to warn. إِنذَار in Arabic means to warn, coupled with love. And this is incorporated into the grammar of the word. So one is a traffic officer who's executing a duty, who's regulating the rules, who has certain, framework to work within and to bring about discipline. It's not necessarily coupled with love and affection. The Quran's warning is coupled with concern. The Prophet is a nadir. Nadir means one who warns with love and affection. But I also came across an amazing exploration of ba's and shadid. So ba's means punishment, shadid means severe. Now look at this commentary of the Quran. And I read this in Masail al-Suluk of Hakim al-Umma rahimahullah. He says, ba'san shadida huwa ba'sul hijabi wal bu'du 'anil janabi wa huwa ashaddul 'adhabi kalla innahum 'an rabbihim yawma idhil mahjubun. My word, in half a line what has been conveyed will take me a long time to unpack and explain and put context. So ba'san means punishment, shadidan means severe. He writes in his tafsir that severe punishment here in this ayah could also mean, in addition to the torment of hell, ba'sul hijab, the punishment that will be unleashed upon the occupant of hell in the form that he will be veiled and screened and barred from seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ba'san shadida huwa ba'sul hijabi. Ba'sul hijabi, the punishment of being barred and veiled and screened and denied the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْبُعْدُ عَنِ الْجَنَابِ وَالْبُعْدُ عَنِ الْجَنَابِ, where he will be subjected to deprivation from the proximity and the countenance of Allah. وَذَلِكَ أَشَدُّ الْعَذَابِ, and that is the worst form of torment that could possibly be unleashed upon the occupant of hell. And then he references the verse, "Kalla innahum 'an rabbihim yawma idhil lamahjubun," that surely they will be veiled from their Lord on the day of Qiyamah, meaning the disbeliever. This is the verse of chapter 83 in the 30th juz, verse number 15. In fact, under this ayah, I read myself, Imam Shafi'i and Imam Malik rahimahumullah, the two great legendary scholars of Islam, make mention that when Allah is speaking of the punishment that would be unleashed upon the disbeliever, that they will be deprived of the countenance of Allah, then the ayah also implies that the believers will be privileged with the countenance of Allah. Subhanallah. If this is a punishment for them, then that means, and it implies implicitly, it implies that the believers, and may Allah make us amongst them, may Allah make us, because my brother, my sister, I know not my fate. In what state will I leave this world? In what state will I leave this world? So I hope, wish and pray that Allah preserves our faith and we can leave with Iman, and hopefully we can be amongst those fortunate individuals who will be privileged with the countenance of Allah, which will be the pinnacle of euphoria for the occupants of Jannah. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. In fact, I have another flash on this ayah, that is the 15th verse of chapter 83 in Juz 30 in Ma'riful Quran. Mufti Shafi Saab rahmatullah alayhi writes under the heading note, he says that when Allah says that the disbelievers will be barred and they will be screened from seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now this can only constitute a punishment and a penalty if they really want to see Allah. You cannot deprive someone of something which they don't desire. Sometimes you tell a child, a toddler, if you're going to be throwing a tantrum, I won't give you food. He's like, happy, I don't want to eat. So it doesn't constitute a discipline measure because the child doesn't want to eat. It can only constitute a penalty, a punishment, if the individual desires the opposite. So the fact that Allah says, now look at the depth of the Quran, look at the beauty. I hope somebody is understanding what I'm hoping to transmit. And I promise you, I don't really have anything. It's just, 20 odd years with the grace of Allah in the learning and teaching of the Quran that we've picked up on these things. And may Allah reward the scholars who devoted their lives. Al-ulama ul-uzzab, alladhina atharu al-ilma ala al-ziwaj. I read the book, okay, not cover to cover, not bil-isti'ab as they would say, but I read snippets and extracts and passages of this book of Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahimahullah, in that he speaks of scholars throughout the times who adopted celibacy in the quest of knowledge. That, you know what, the passion of understanding deen, they just were living single. They adopted that, and their passion was so overwhelming. They were so preoccupied in understanding the Quran and the sciences of Quran and Sunnah that they devoted their entire life. There's a rich compilation of scholars throughout the ages like this, scholars of these nature, of this caliber. So anyway, the point that I'm saying is that it's mentioned here in Ma'riful Quran that this ayah releases a hint that the disbelievers, although they verbally deny Allah, but in the hearts of hearts, they also believe in a sovereign being. They also believe in an Allah. They might say they are an atheist or an agnostic, but their very anatomy is calling out to some divine being, the Allah who has created us, and the Allah that legislated the Sharia. This human anatomy is in harmony with the Sharia. You will not find inconsistency between our makeup and the tenets of Islam. And if perchance you find any contradiction, then that is external influence that has obscured your lenses. Otherwise, it is in perfect synchronization. So to recap this point here, the point that I'm laboring here is that Allah says they will be barred from the sight of Allah. That means it can only constitute a penalty and punishment when in the heart of hearts they are believing in Allah, although they verbally choose to deny. So this is one exploration of Ba's and Shadid, which is the object of the Quran to warn the disbelievers of a severe punishment. And furthermore, in the latter portion of the second verse of this chapter of the Quran, Surah Al-Kahf, Allah says, and what is the other purpose and function and motive and object of this chapter and the Quran? وَيُبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ وَيُبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And this Quran and this chapter gives glad tidings. بَشَّرَ يُبَشِّرُ تَبَشِيرُ, to give glad tidings. وَيُبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and to give glad tidings to the believers. الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ, those who perform righteous deeds continuously. الَّذِينَ اسم موصول, يَعْمَلُونَ is مُضَارِع, which incorporates the meaning of استمرار. استمرار means continuous, unending. So a believer is one who is in the performance of righteous deeds throughout his life. وَيُبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ, it gives glad tidings to those who perform righteous deeds. أَنَّ لَهُمْ, أَنَّ, verily, لَهُمْ, for them, أَجْرًا, reward, حَسَنَا, excellent. That for the believer there is an excellent reward. And what do the scholars say? That when you contrast that, when you contrast بَأْسًا شَدِيدًا وَالْبَأْسُ الْحِجَابِ وَالْبُعْدُ عَنِ الْجَنَابِ وَهُوَ أَشَدُّ الْعَذَابِ, that بَأْسًا شَدِيدٌ could mean, of course, deprivation from the countenance of Allah, then أَجْرًا حَسَنًا would refer to the privilege of being favored with the countenance of Allah. And as I mentioned, that's the height of happiness, joy, excitement, euphoria, and jubilation. And أَجْرًا حَسَنًا also refers to all the bounties of Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in Jannah, for them is what they want. In Jannah is what they want. لَهُمْ فِيهَا مَا يَشَاءُونَ, لَهُمْ فِيهَا مَا يَشَاءُونَ وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ, for them is whatever they want, and we have something beyond that as well. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَةٌ, those who perform good actions, for them is an excellent reward. وَزِيَادَةٌ, and something additional, something surplus, something as a surprise. Wow, wow. أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا. And the scholars also mention under this يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ that it refers to doing actions with sincerity. My brother, as simple as the action is, let the motive be correct. One of my teachers used to mention, and may Allah preserve him with goodness, he would say that regardless of your intention, the world judges you by presentation. And regardless of your presentation, the Almighty judges you by your intention. Regardless of your intention, the world judges you by presentation. You need to present it. You need to look presentable. The food needs to be presentable. The aesthetics and the cosmetics, the look, the appearance, the presentation. It's all about presentation. And regardless of your presentation, the Almighty will judge you by your intention. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. So just a reminder to myself and you, we need to do actions exclusively for the pleasure of Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in verse number 3. We move on. مَاكِثِينَ فِيهِ أَبَدًا مَاكِثِينَ فِيهِ أَبَدًا. That they will dwell therein forever. They will dwell therein forever. Now, the greatest bounty of Jannah is that in addition to it being of a perfect, of an excellent nature, it is eternal. If I were to give a simple analogy, if somebody says, you know what, I can borrow you the latest car. I borrow you a Ferrari. Or I gift you a simple car. One of two options. I borrow you a Ferrari and I gift you a simple car. Any logical person with half a brain will opt for the latter option, although that car is simple. The first one, the Ferrari, is flashy, it's exclusive, it's expensive, it's flamboyant, it will get you the likes, it will get you the comments, it will secure people around you and the rest of it. But it's temporary. It's for a period of time. And having the other car perhaps doesn't have all that bells and whistles. Doesn't have the bells and whistles. But end of the day, you take that car home. It is your car. You know what? You are the owner of that car. You are the owner of that car. Now, when you compare between superior and inferior and temporary and permanent, then everyone opts for something inferior, provided it's permanent, versus something that is superior and is temporary. But when it comes to Jannah, subhanallah, it is the best of it all, and yet it is permanent. مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدْ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ. In the 14 juz, in chapter 16, in Surah An-Nahl or Surah An-Ni'am, which is another name for this chapter, Allah says, whatever you have, is meant to perish. Not only your assets or your degrees, but even your relationships amongst yourself, it all will perish. وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ. And what is by Allah and what Allah has is permanent, everlasting, inexhaustible. مَاكِثِينَ فِيهِ أَبَدًا. Can you imagine the joy of the dwellers of Jannah that you will live in Jannah forever and ever? My brother, try and process this. My sister, try and absorb this here. You know, as a student, when you're studying, there's this excitement when my final exam is done, then, oh, there won't be exams again in my life. I had this myself. Like, there won't be an examination room. There won't be an examiner there. There won't be marks. There won't be submitting. There won't be, you know what, a position or waiting or anticipating for results or pending. Or then you want to, you know, do a postgraduate, etc. So there is this related stress. I'm just using as a simple analogy, which sometimes can leave you anxious and can increase anxiety. And you're like, oh, I'm waiting to sigh with relief. I'm waiting to sigh. And only to summit that hill, only to summit that hill. And then you realize that the first exam of life is more daunting than the combined exams of your studies. The first exam of life, the first curveball that life throws at you, you discover is more daunting, more challenging than the combined exams of life. But this is just as far as the world is concerned. Now, can you imagine where you will able to tell yourself that this is the end of stress forever? This is the end of pain forever. There was a relative of mine, an uncle of mine who passed on. And he was physically challenged, he was visually impaired, he had multiple disabilities, and I pray for him and I ask you to pray for him and for all our, you know, brethren that have moved on. May Allah envelope them in his divine mercy. And so at the funeral, I was asked to say a few words. And I teared, and those around, you know, everyone cried. And I had a flash of one hadith that Allah put in my mind at that time, when Fatima radiallahu anha said to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that, oh, the pain is so intense, the pain is so intense. The pain is so... Fatima radiallahu anha said, wa karba abata, wa karba abata. Oh, I mean, to see your beloved in pain is the most difficult thing. And when you see, find yourself helpless, you find yourself helpless, and you're standing at the bedside, and it's not a pleasant sight, and it's not an easy sight. And may Allah make it easy for anyone and everyone that is unwell. May Allah give shifa. And you find that son, spouse, partner, parent, teacher, child is in pain, in agony, and you are standing there helpless, unable to do anything, unable to do anything. And this is Fatima radiallahu anha, the beloved of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is the Nabi of Allah in the throes of death. Wa karba abata. Oh, the pain of my dad is so intense, is so intense. And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Laysa ala abiki karabun ba'd al-yawm. Laysa ala abiki karabun ba'd al-yawm. Oh, my daughter, there is no pain and agony and distress for your father after today. The first proclamation that the dwellers of Jannah will proclaim as they enter into Jannah, may Allah make us from amongst them. وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَذْهَبَ عَنَّا الْحَزَنِ. All praise belongs to Allah, who has freed us of grief, of sorrow, of pain, of anxiety, permanently gone, done, dusted. So مَاكِثِينَ فِيهِ أَبَدًا. You will be there for eternity. To the extent that in the 23rd juz of the Quran in Surah Saffat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about an ecstasy that will grip the occupants of Jannah. So you will know that you are in Jannah, and you will know that Jannah is eternal, but you'll just have this flesh. أَفَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَيِّتِينَ. Like, really? We won't die again? إِلَّا مَوْتَتَنَا الْأُولَى وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمُعَذَّبِينَ. But the first death that we tasted in this world, and that's about it. And after this, there is no death again. إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. This is great success. This is great success. You know you're getting married, and then you're married, and then you meet your friend, and you're like, bro, I'm married. Bro, I'm married. Or you know your wife is on the family way, and then Allah blesses you with a bouncing baby, and you're like, bro, you know what? I'm a father, or I'm a mother, or I'm a grandparent, or whatever it is. So it's not like you were unaware of this coming your way, but it's just a renewed sense of joy, happiness, and excitement. Can you imagine the pain and the agony of those who will be in hell, what eternity will do for them? لَبِثِينَ فِيهَا أَحْقَابًا لَا يَذُوقُونَ فِيهَا بَرْدًا وَلَا شَرَابًا إِلَّا حَمِيمًا وَغَسَّاقًا. While eternity will be a source of happiness and joy for the people of Jannah. And let me say another qualifying statement. It's towards the end of Surah Al-Kahf that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يَبْغُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَلًا. In this world, even if you go for holiday and you have the best of foods, after a time, you know what? You become monotonous. You need to go back into routine. I need to go home. I need my own bed. I'm tired of the hotel environment. You know what? I need my routine. You just get tired. You need something new. لَا يَبْغُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَلًا. They will not seek alternation. They will not seek alternation. So the ecstasy will continue. And I'll leave you on this note of Jannah. In this world, when you indulge in something, it's exciting for the first moment. And as life goes on, the excitement in the indulgence gradually gets decreased. So the first time you ate it, it was the best meal. The first time you went on holiday was great. The next time was fine, was okay, but nothing to scream about, nothing to write home about. So gradually it loses its momentum of excitement, and the thrill starts withering away. In Jannah, the beginning will be greater than the excitement we had in this world in its entirety. And every moment that continues beyond will only enhance the happiness and the joy, be it the fruit, be it the spouse, be it the clothing, and the climax and the highlight will be when we will be privileged with the moment to see the Almighty. May Allah make us from amongst those fortunate individuals. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.